Hi, this is Dan Amrick from oneofswords.com, and you are listening to the Xbox 360 SoloCast.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. This is Smitty Smith, and you are turning in. Jesus Christ, I'm already messing up. I'm 5 seconds into the podcast. You are tuning in to episode 25. Today is April 26th, and this is officially the longest podcast I've ever been a part of. I helped launch, three different podcasts over the course of, 3 years. And for different reasons, I was unable to keep going with them. Always coming back to the fact that, nighttime is my time. And, I don't have time for like a 2 or 3 hour podcast. This is why I do the solo cast. It's because it's 20 minutes. It's at my own discretion, as you probably figured out last week when I didn't record. I do it on my own time when I can, when I want. Typically, I record Thursday nights, but that's only because the wife and kids are next door at the in-laws. So, this is the longest podcast ever. So 25 episodes in. We are a quarter of the way to episode 100, which is going to be spectacular. I really don't know that we're going to make episode 100. I hope so. You guys keep tuning in, and publishers and developers keep supporting me with stuff to give away to you guys, and we'll keep going. If interest wanes, then we'll stop doing it. But until then, welcome. I got 370 points since the last time you guys tuned in. My gamer score is now 90,224. So I finally broke that 90,000 threshold, and it's now just a race for 100,000, trying to get to six figures, man. That's huge. And the worst part of it is I'm really, really happy I've got this 90,000 gamer score. That's it's something to be proud of. But I've got friends that got like 250,000. I've got one guy that I've been chasing forever. He's consistently 10,000 ahead of me. It's a pain in the ass, is what it is. So I've tried to pretend like it doesn't matter to me. I'm losing, so it's not a game anymore. But fact of the matter is, if I could catch up to any of those guys and I knew an easy way to do it, I would do it in a second. I played some Assassin's Creed Revelations. You've heard me bitching about it. I still think it's probably the weakest game in the series, but I need to take back everything I said about the game. Well, mostly everything, okay? What a great game. I love the story. The gameplay is good. The only issue is the first, 3 or 4 hours of the game where you're constantly buying things, and it's causing your Templar, recognition meter, I guess, to go up. So, luckily I was able to consistently find the criers and things like that to pay them off to bring that meter back down. And I got through the game doing only two of those god-awful tower defense mini-games. I played some Trials Evolution. I've got some mixed feelings about this. Now, we've got some news about this a little bit later on, but Trials is a good game. Trials Evolution's a good game, all right? Lots of stuff to do. It gets hard. But that's Trials MO. That's what makes them such a good game. But I am concerned that they may have lost their way a little bit. There's a couple of tracks in there that go on far longer than they should. It's Gigantrack, I guess, or Gigatrack. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like a 15-minute track. That's not why people tune in to play Trials. They want to spend, 2 minutes to 8 minutes agonizingly getting through each individual level, doing flips and things like that, just on a dirt bike. They don't want to spend 10 to 15 minutes ripping their fucking hair out, okay, at the most ridiculous level design, because I don't know how to feather the goddamn throttle, okay? That's the real issue, okay, is that in certain instances, after 15 goddamn faults, I figure out that I have to use the throttle lightly, okay? And I still, I love the game. I'm in the process of doing my review. It should be published this week. Very, very fun game, but there's a couple of levels, that one in particular, that just really ruins the experience for me. You know, I'm not going to dock at points because of one simple, shitty level, but I would be remiss not to... not to mention that to you guys, but for anybody who hasn't purchased it, I highly recommend it. Very, very fun game. If you're not into that thing and you're a little on the fence and the demo still hasn't sold you, wait for it to drop in price and then pick it up. You won't be disappointed. Played a little more Anomaly Warzone Earth. That's the reverse tower defense. That's where you're guiding the military guys through... a particular area that's you know, laced with towers. You're changing their route and using different powers and things like that to get to where you need to go and trying to keep people alive. Really fun game. I'm really surprised that they did so well bringing it over from you know, Android and iOS to Xbox Live Arcade. That's another one I'm in the process of writing a review on, so you'll see that shortly. And finally, played some Ghost Recon Future Soldier Beta. And this is a third-person game that I think would be it would be better if it was a first-person game. It's a game where everybody jumps in and you want to run around and blast people, when in reality you need to play it like a Ghost Recon game. Okay, you need to use cover, you need to use teamwork, tactics. Play to your strengths, avoid your weaknesses, and you'll be fine. The problem is, In the world where everybody has been absorbed into Call of Duty or Battlefield or something along those lines, everybody's trying to play it like Call of Duty or Battlefield, including me. And it's frustrating, because if you play it like that, the game's awful. If you play the game like it's meant to be played, it's wonderful. The customization of each of the classes is deep. The options for weapons and unlockables is very, very thorough. It gives everybody a feeling that you're actually making your own class, your own gun, your own person to take into combat. All right, I've been playing a lot of the engineer, using the UAV to spot people, things like that. Yeah, I'm that guy because it gets me a lot of points. And again, because I'm not that good, I've been playing it the way you're not supposed to play it. Overall, I'm really, really happy with the game, and I'm anxious to see what else they have to offer. Prototype 2 came out this week, and it's getting some good reviews. I didn't get a copy for review myself, which is disappointing. I requested it quite a ways back, but I understand, you know, it needs to go out to some bigger outlets. Also, The Witcher 2 came out, and this is a game I'm commonly hearing that people that play video games for a living, guys that know what they're doing, have to turn the difficulty down to easy because they can't even get out of the tutorial. That's quite the statement. That's almost, you know, Dark Souls difficult, okay? But I am hearing great things about The Witcher 2 as well. Two different, totally different games. Prototype 2 is one of these action adventures. Witcher 2 is an RPG. You know, they came out in successive weeks, appealing to the audiences of those genres. So if you're into that, go out, check it out, and write in. Let me know what you think. We'll read it on the air, and we'll start up a discussion about what needs to change, what needs to stay the same. Both games I certainly want to play, but due to the fact that I'm extremely busy with everything else, probably not going to get to it until well after it's in the bargain bin. So on Xbox Live Arcade, Blood Forge was released. That is the second game, third game, I don't know, in whatever block party that they're selling right now. We know Minecraft is coming out and Fable Journey is coming out. Blood Forge, I played the demo, and I listened to some people talk about the full game, and it's shit. It's a game that had massive, massive potential, and one that I was actually looking forward to, but the more I hear about it, the less excited I get, and that's too bad. Even in the demo, it's just push X, push Y, roll, XXY, XYY, roll, jump, Y, that type of thing, and it's not fun. There's no depth. It's it didn't sell me. And it's like an 8-minute demo, too. I mean, of just, you know, hacking people's heads off. Blood is cool, but only when used correctly. And they just, it's not striking me. They didn't use it correctly. So, this week on sale, NBA Jam On Fire Edition. It's $10. If you're an NBA Jam fan, you know, from back in the day, go pick it up. A few demos have come out, and I wanted to talk about them. Dragon's Dogma. This is a hack and slash that I got a chance to see at PAX East. I never really played it. It's got a feel that's oddly similar to that of First Templar, which is I think it's published by Calypso and developed by Hamamont. Dragon's Dogma, it's a role-playing game with massive enemies that you can climb up on and you hack limbs off and things like that. It's set in the times where you've got griffins and you've got centaurs and things like that. It's almost, you know, Roman mythology, Greek mythology type thing. But there are dragons, of course. And those purchasing the game will get into the Resident Evil 6 beta. So there's always that. I think people will be pleasantly surprised with Dragon's Dogma. Not many people are expecting much from it. Judging from my gameplay, there may be a neat story wrapped up in it. I like a lot of the elements that are included. The pawn system, which is the followers that you have with you. Inventory system, looting, things like that. That's all fine and dandy. Typical role-playing game. But what you're going to see is it's really going to hinge on the story. If they can create an intriguing story, that's where the score is going to lie. It's got typical hack and slash elements mixed in with some role playing, so that's neat. But you're probably looking at a game that's going to end up with a 7 or a 7.5 overall score. Ninja Gaiden 3 came out. I haven't had a chance to play the demo on that. But I hear it's awful. I enjoyed the re-release of Ninja Gaiden back on the Xbox, the original Xbox. I didn't quite beat it. I got very, very close and ended up selling my Xbox, you know, because of the Xbox 360 coming out. But they say that's one of the hardest ones, which makes me feel good because, you know, I almost finished the game. But they're saying Ninja Gaiden 3 kind of rolls back and appeases the masses. It gives everybody an opportunity to play and to beat it. And people don't like that. People want to feel special. They want to feel like, you know, they're really good at a particular game. And when you dumb a game down to you know, appeal to the masses, it's going to piss people off. I'm not upset about it. In fact, I may even try the demo just to see what's going on there. But overall, I'm hearing bad things. All right. Sorry. Had to take a drink, guys. Talking awfully fast. I want to get through the episode and get over to some gameplay. I've got some writing to do tonight, you know, gameplay is certainly on the docket. Plus, my wife's coming home, and she said something about bringing home KFC. So, you know, there's always, you know, in an hour or so, I'll be getting cancer, so that's good. Played some Sniper V2, I guess is what it's called. It's a World War II shooter, third-person shooter, but you play a sniper. And this is a game that it's oddly unique. It's one of these games where The controls aren't great, the gameplay isn't stupendous. In any other game, without a couple of key pieces, you're looking at a 4, maybe a 5 game, just an average game, nothing special about it. In fact, there might be some things about it that are bad. But the kill shots that they add into this game, you know, when you're taking your sniper shots and it follows the bullet and it zooms in and you can see the x-ray of the guy's skull and the bullet comes out of his eyeball. That's awesome. You'll never get tired of seeing a dude's eye explode, okay? Additionally, you've got these Germans that are carrying grenades on their belt. If you shoot a grenade, it'll blow up, causing collateral damage to anybody around it. That's a little touch that really, really takes a game from a 4 or a 5 and makes it a 6 or a 7. I don't think you're going to see it get above a 7, but giving a game that really doesn't impress except in a couple of key aspects, giving that a 7. That's a great score, and Sniper V2, I think, is going to end 6.5, 7, at least based on the gameplay I saw in the demo that's on Xbox Live right now. So go check that out. You'll see what I mean. Games on demand. I think I'm just going to take this out of the podcast. Nobody really cares what's going on demand. Everything's always overpriced. So let's talk about some news. Okay. The Walking Dead episode 1 releases on April 27th. That is, Friday. That's tomorrow. And I'm not sure how to take this game. I don't know what to expect. It's a licensed game from, I think it's from Telltale. Which they have a decent track record, but let me put it this way. I expect far more from Game of Thrones than I do from The Walking Dead. Those are two very popular television shows right now. So that's, we'll leave it at that, okay? Microsoft, there's been a leak that Microsoft is going to be starting up this, it's codenamed Woodstock, and it's a streaming music service. Now, you might say, what the hell is Microsoft doing in music again? Didn't the Zune fail? Well, the Zune didn't really fail, mainly because this podcast is on the Zune, so we are keeping it afloat. You know, thank you guys. but what Microsoft is doing is they're implementing a... oh, Jesus, someone's outside my window mowing. Anyway, Microsoft's implementing a service that is cross-platform. Android, iOS, Windows 8, Facebook, without installing any additional plugins or anything like that, you're going to be able to stream your music. That's huge. That's Microsoft stepping forward and saying, if we want to compete with Apple and iTunes, we need to do something different, and we need to give people choices. You've heard me say it a number of times, choices are always good. Competition is good for the consumer because it makes companies want to give them something else, something to make more than, let's say, 50% of the market share is iTunes and 50% is Microsoft. Somebody else is going to step in and say, I'm going to give you something better, and they'll pull 25% share from each of them, leaving Microsoft and iTunes with 25% each, and then this new person with 50%, until somebody else comes in and siphons off. You know, that's how competition works, and that's what we want. Is Steam going to create a Steam Box console to play Steam games? Is Apple going to create their own games console? I hope so. Not because I want to play it. In fact, I probably avoid them both. But simply because that means the Xbox is going to get that much better. All right. So look for Microsoft's Woodstock service to get announced at E3 in June. May 1st, a big day. The new Call of Duty is going to be announced during some NBA game. Now, that's awesome. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is my guess. And based on the One of Swords podcast with Dan Americk, Katrin Auk, and Hugh Sterbikov, Hugh keeps saying in space like it's a joke. I think he's letting on that this is actually going to take place somewhat in space. People are taking it with a grain of salt. He's being facetious. I'm not so sure, okay? Additionally, the way they're announcing it during an NBA game, that tells me that they're acknowledging that their core audience is a bunch of NBA watchers, which I disagree. I think they're like people, the Call of Duty players are people like me. But this is genius on Activision's part, okay? What they're doing is they're saying, anybody who knows about video games knows what we're going to be talking about. For those people that don't follow video games, but do play Call of Duty, let's stick this in their face, make them aware, and get them talking for the next 4 or 5 months. Then when Call of Duty releases, everybody who plays Call of Duty goes out and buys it. And everybody who doesn't play Call of Duty but knows about it is going to go out and buy it. You're going to see record sales again, plain and simple. All right, so probably November is when you're going to see Black Ops 2 release. And my guess is it's going to be better than Modern Warfare 3. Great game, just has some issues. All right. Also, Xbox 360 has Microsoft has been accused and found guilty of infringing on certain Motorola patents. Motorola's been in court with them for quite a while, and basically it's one particular video codec, and they're in court cases over this as well. The way the Xbox communicates with peripherals, and there's one other issue. Motorola is saying we want 2.25% of any Microsoft product that's using this stuff. Microsoft, of course, is saying hell no, because I mean they've got billions of dollars they've made from this. So 2.25% is quite a chunk of cash. You'll probably see a settlement come out of this. Okay. Future guest of the show, Robert Bowling. That's right. He and I have been talking, and he will be on the show. We don't know when, simply because they've now announced, he's now announced, Rob Otoki. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, but it's a new game studio for next-generation consoles. Obviously, we know there are going to be next-generation consoles, but to be able to brand yourself as a developer for next-generation consoles means you already have access to a next-generation console, all right? So, what is it, and what does it include? So, that's what I want to find out, and when we get him on the show, we're going to have our typical interview. We're going to talk about him, what he's done, what he's like, what he does like himself. Not talk about much business, but this is too much news to avoid, so we're not going to put him on the spot, but we will certainly ask him his plans and what we can expect to see, okay? Also, and this is very surprising, Splash Damage, the developers for Brink, estimate Brink sales at 2.5 million. That's roughly, on average, we'll say $130 million that they made. That's unbelievable for that piece of shit game. Brink was disappointing. It had a lot of great concepts that they really, really failed to take advantage of, and it ended up being mediocre and just poorly executed. And that's, I would say, industry-wide, that was, you know, that was the idea that Brink failed. Surprising, it was published by Bethesda, and Splash Damage is actually now doing mobile games, I think. But Brink did pretty well, so don't be surprised to see a Brink 2, probably from a different developer. And the final piece of news, Trials Evolution is now the highest grossing first day sale, or has the highest grossing first day sales in Xbox Live Arcade history. We talked about it earlier. That's huge. Way to go, Red Lynx. That's the developer. Way to go, Ubisoft, the publisher and owner of Red Lynx. So, we'll leave it at that. They made millions and millions of dollars by creating a game that essentially is the same as the first one. So, cool. We've now come to the point of the show where I'm going to give you free shit. If you're not in the Ghost Recon Future Soldier beta, I've got a bunch of codes. I'm going to rattle them off here. Plug them in if you can. Good luck. P64T74MJMKYGHK769WFDWCFJZ. Next. 2F7CX3XDCG9VRDH V2XJY4K7GZ. Now I've got a couple others, but we're gonna go ahead and I'll post those to Facebook or to Twitter, something along those lines. But I do have one other code for you guys, and I'm sorry I'm a little bit slow pulling this up at the moment. But I have an Xbox Live Arcade, it's a shirt for Darksiders 2 is what it is, it's for your avatar. Alright, so the first person to plug this in, congrats, WM9C3XJT2XF2Y6DP9WXJY66FZ. So, Hopefully you got it. Enjoy the shirt. Other than that, this is going to wrap up episode 25 of the Xbox 360 SoloCast. As always, thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm constantly looking for ways to make the show better, to add segments, remove segments, to make it flow a little bit better, and to make it interesting. It's hard to do with one dude sitting behind a microphone. I understand that. So if you have any suggestions, if you have any topics you want discussed, email xbox360solocast@gmail.com. I have a crap ton of swag that I'm not giving away unless you guys write in. Typically, I'll get one or two emails, but they're not really talking about anything that should be discussed on the podcast, so I don't read them, and nobody gets anything. So write into the show. Let me know. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Zune. Leave a rating. I don't care if it's good or if it's bad, as long as it's honest. That way I know how I'm doing, because I don't always talk to everybody on Twitter or on Facebook, especially with the downloads I've been getting lately. I don't know what happened, if somebody posted a link or what's going on, but we suddenly got mildly popular. So I'll keep doing the show. You guys keep listening. Have a good weekend, everybody. Take care.